Lord has showed me how to be intentional by seeking out other people who were Christ-like, also people who needed my help, how to rebuild other relationships and how to let go.
He is able to work when we pray and when we obey. So I just would challenge those that are struggling in their marriages to really apply what God says. And forgiveness is the number one call that I think we miss so much.
I choose to trust in Jesus, to love and ask for love for my husband. I ask God for everything about my husband. I don't have to go to my husband as much.
This is Intentional Living, people making decisions about one thing that's so important for a high-stake relationship, and then sometimes effectively and sometimes stumbling, but intentionally doing the next right one thing, trying for 30 days to have a 30-day challenge to glorify God and to benefit your life. Welcome to Intentional Living. I'm Dr. Randy Carlson from our Intentional Living studio today, and we have a lineup of calls, looks like around the topic of marriage, and looks like some difficult things that have occurred. We'll get to those in just a moment. In fact, it looks like there's sort of this bait and switch kind of thing going on in marriage. Maybe you've been through that. What do I mean? I mean that you were dating, you said you loved each other, you got married, and then later you found out that some of the things that were said, some of the representations made, either on your part or their part, didn't turn out to be, well, they turned out to be some fake news. And now you're finding that things aren't what you thought they were going to be. As I tell young couples, and this is really important, if you get nothing else out of this half hour of intentional living, we're always going to judge ourselves by our intentions. Others are going to judge us by expectation. You're going to judge others by expectation. You're going to always judge yourself by intention. And I believe that in most cases, the intentions are good, but make sure expectations are understood and clearly articulated. If you're not married yet, and if you are married, it's still important to sit down and get those expectations clearly spelled out. Because sometimes you may feel like you've been deceived when in actuality, it was an unintentional omission. But sometimes it is intentional. And when it is, it's painful. Even when it's unintentional, it can be painful. So we're going to get to some of that today. Love to have you join in. If you have a comment you want to share on our storyline, give us a call, 888-888-1717, press number 2. All right. We'll get to our first caller in just a moment.
Hey, Dr. Randy, this is Patty. I live in St. Louis, Missouri. I've been listening to you for about maybe 4 years. Never had the nerve to call you. My experiences with not being intentional or not being honest or not sharing. When I met my husband, he wanted to have more kids, and I didn't tell him I didn't want to have kids. So when we got married, you know, something came up, and I told him I did not want to have no kids. It was the worst thing that ever happened for him. What you don't know or what you don't say will hurt somebody very bad. And it was very hard for me to deal with it. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. That's real life. That's real life. You know, we could go to the extreme and call it bait and switch. I think sometimes people who do that, you know, they intentionally don't disclose things, but sometimes it's just through the innocence of love and attraction and passion and dating and, you know, getting ready to get married that we overlook the things that we can see in another person. Now, but believe me, the purpose of this program is to encourage you, if that's become an issue in your marriage, that you go through the process of forgiveness and reconciliation and realizing we're human beings and allowing for a time of restoration or maybe even some boundaries that may need to be put in place at times when there are things that just need to be addressed and put on the table because they're serious matters. But for those who are single today, to really think about the power and the importance of transparency like that caller. Hey, listen, if you just really say, I don't want to have children, I just don't want to be a parent, it is a lot better and wiser and smarter to tell the person before you get married than afterward. And it can even come down to the issues I jokingly talked about when it comes to animals and you know, how you want to live your life and how you want to handle money and about your faith. So often we hear about the bait and switch when it comes to faith. A person claims to be a Christian, and afterward they're not, or they don't really live it out. It becomes one of the attributes of the pursuit during dating, but not a reality afterward. David's on the line. David, welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Randy.
Appreciate your call. What's your question for me today?
Well, my question is that I am in a marriage right now, and before we got together and got married and I moved in to her home, there were certain things that changed that I didn't expect about the woman that I was married to, and I saw the qualities that I liked about her, but I didn't actually see exactly what's going to happen after we got married and we got together and was living together.
What do you want to share? What specific kind of thing would be helpful to understand?
Specific kind of things is that, like you said she was a Christian, or actually she said was a Catholic, and I find out now that I don't think that she's really a believer of Christ and what God says he will do, who mm-hmm. he says he is, and everything.
Well, David, I'm sorry about that. We always go back to Scripture as the basis, the ultimate foundation of trying to make decisions. We have to get to the end of ourselves and realize that the Bible, the Scripture, becomes the source of direction and wisdom in our life. And while you're disappointed, again, expectations minus reality, disappointment, and now you're seeing her for differently than you did before, there's a different person, and I'm sure that's upsetting and hurtful for you. But from a biblical standpoint, the Bible says if you're married to a person who's not a believer, that you're not to leave them because of that. But if they leave, the Scripture says, then that's a different story. In other words, we don't divorce a person simply because they aren't who we thought they were. Now, if there's specific behaviors or there's things that are specifically going on in the relationship that need to be confronted about money or about communication or about honesty, then those things need to be addressed, but pray for her. I mean, you need to pray for her. Is there some specific issue, David, that I can help you with in terms of your relationship?
She's going through some medical concerns, and I'm being there and supporting her and supposed to be, I'm telling her to have faith in the dentist that she's seeing and have faith in God that everything's going to be okay. But sometimes she prays, and she prays with me, but she doesn't seem to have the faith or believe that God will answer their prayer. And I'm going through a trial right now. I'm on treatment for something in my blood that happened before I became a Christian. And that thing has hurt me now, and I'm taking medicines that's supposed to help me get rid of the poison that was in my bloodstream and get rid of it.
Hey, let me jump in, David. We've been having phone problems here this morning. The phone company's working on some lines, but I think I got the essence of what you're saying. If your spouse isn't a believer, if that's true, she doesn't know Christ, you wouldn't expect her to have that kind of faith. You wouldn't expect her to pray and have faith that God's going to answer. I mean, that's evidence. Part of the evidence of our relationship with Christ is a growing faith. Let me just give you a really practical thing I think would be encouraging for you, David, is not focus on what you don't have. Focus on what you do have with her. Focus on the things that do attract you to her, the things that you love about her, and then see it as an opportunity to really love her, pray for her, speak into her life, and allow God to do a work in her life. Your job is not to be her Holy Spirit. But boy, you sent out a great big warning sign, and I'll tell you, we've heard it thousands of times in my lifetime of ministry. People who are they're one kind of person when you're dating, and we all are to a certain extent, and then we're different after we say, I do. You know, it could be as simple as before, I like broccoli, and after I get married, I really let you know I don't. Now, that's one thing. But I am a follower of Christ, and afterwards, well, not really quite so much. That's a different thing. The transparency, the reality, the vulnerability, the being honest with each other, being who you really are while you're dating, I think is such an important aspect of really taking time and knowing the person you're going to get married to. But in your case, David, you really need to love her and pray for her and ask God to do something special in your marriage and her life.
Hi, Dr. Randy. My name is Whitney. I've been on the air a couple of times, and my husband has recently, after 2 years becoming a Christian, he was not a Christian while we were married, and then 2 years ago, now almost actually 3 years ago, and he became a Christian, started going to church with me in Phoenix, Arizona, and in the last 3 weeks has decided that he is not a believer anymore, and it is extremely hard and difficult to handle as I'm keeping my faith and doing my good deeds and goodwills and hoping that he sees that through me and hopefully we'll have a change of heart. Thanks, you guys. Well, I appreciate your program very much. Bye-bye.
You know, glad to be here for you. Thank you. Lynn is in Florida today. Lynn, welcome to Intentional Living.
See you.
Go right ahead. You're on the air.
I don't know where I'm going. Hold on. I'll meet. Just you go your way and I'll go mine.
Okay, so I just did my own thing.
Hello. Are you there? Well, we'll have to get to Lynn in a moment. Let me go to Kimberly in New Mexico. Welcome to the program, Kimberly.
Hello, Doctor. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, when I began dating who would soon to be my husband, it was after some observation that he was growing in his faith. I was aware that he had not been practicing his faith at all or his walk with Christ, and then saw evidence in that we would attend church and he was involved in children's ministry and a men's Bible study and just really growing and seemed to be excited in that. And as a result, I agreed when he proposed to marry him. But shortly after that, we ended up moving, which really took us out of our community there that we had really just been comfortable in. And his zeal for Christ really faded. And I know that I was supposed to marry him based on, you know, my prayers to Christ and just really at the time said, I really don't want to be outside your will. But then after the marriage started, there was a lot of challenges with the son, his son that came into our marriage and everything like that. So even though I felt like I had been intentional in observing him and his behavior, after the marriage and, you know, and after the move out of the community, he really has faltered as a leader, as a spiritual leader, in our relationship and in our marriage.
Have you talked to him about this?
Oh, yes, very much, very much. And a lot of conversations. And his responses are not, it's more, you know, well, work doesn't allow for my day off. You know, I haven't really been involved in the community because of work. And I really feel like it's excuse-based, and I'm not sure, you know, I talked to him about having faith, about asking for that day off permanently, that God will provide, you know, in every way possible if it's in an effort to pursue him. Mm-hmm. But it's just, you know, where I am right now is just going to church, taking my kids to church, and praying, and definitely not as diligently as I should because I know I'm sinful and tired too, but I definitely am trying to just continue in my walk and bring my children into that and speak to him, but I don't.
How does this impact you in your marriage? I mean, beyond what you've shared, as you look at your husband, as you look at the relationship with your husband as a man and a woman, how has this impacted you?
Well, there's resentment, and I question his decisions in raising our kids, you know. Deep down, I feel slightly abandoned in that I feel that I'm responsible for seeking God's will, you know, which is, you know, I know God is always present. He's been with me, never has left me even when I turned away from him. So I know that he's still in control, but, you know, you lose, you know, I recognize I've lost respect for him and it makes me a doubtful wife and a nervous mom. You know, not all the time, but when pressed, I can tell that if I could have faith in his decisions and they were based in his time with Christ, you know, or his walk with God, I would be able to relax and have a lot more joy. But I'm not blame. You know, I can't really blame him, but I don't know.
Well, you've been very honest and very transparent. I would encourage you, Lynn, as a believer, you know, as a follower of Christ, Kimberly, that you really focus on growing yourself and letting God work in your life, because you just said you're having trouble, you're struggling with trusting Him about decisions, you're struggling, I think you said, being nervous and concerned, that you really turn your spiritual eyes inward and say, Lord, what can I learn through this? How can I learn to trust you more and not have my eyes on my husband or have my eyes on the circumstances around me, but to really grow in my relationship with you and my trust for you, and in turn to give my husband to you and intentionally be able to put your husband in God's hands and let God do his work in your husband's life. You know, there's a time and a season for everything, and you don't know. The story's not over yet. Your husband still has things to learn and experiences, and your prayer would be that he'd have a genuine, dynamic, growing relationship with Christ. And that would be my encouragement to you, to allow this process as you go through this, and I appreciate you sharing it, Kimberly, to turn your eyes inward and allow God to teach you and grow you in the fruit of the Spirit as you grow in your relationship with Him. If you go to the very first verse of chapter 4, the very next sentence from the pen of the Apostle Paul, he says, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, I beseech you to have a walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And all of a sudden, Paul turns from belief to behavior. And we're going to see in these next three chapters, very briefly, how Paul lays out how we are to live our lives intentionally. This is intentional living, folks. Last call to receive the teaching this month, the why of intentional living. It's a biblical view of what intentional living is, where it comes from biblically, as we look at the book of Ephesians. It's a very encouraging message. And members, you don't have to call. You've already received it. We send it out every month to say thank you. But I do want to make it available today. Maybe you've never supported the ministry before. And if you will share a gift to help us with intentional living, we'll make sure we'll send this to you. Request it when you do. And also, we have a beautiful 16-month calendar, and this will be the last call for the month of August. Last opportunity to receive the CD and the calendar. So ask for it when you share that gift at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com. We appreciate your support. We really do. You know, if you're new to intentional living, the word intention comes from the idea of stretching, the Latin, in fact, meaning to stretch. So when you intend something, that means you stretch for something that's worthwhile. What we try to do is encourage you, to help you, to motivate, to provide, equip along the way. That's why we do the Intentional Living Minute every day. That's why we do the radio program. That's why we have our resources and our website to encourage you on this journey. We encourage you to decide and declare on one thing for your life. It may be to improve your marriage, your finances, your health, your work, and then intentionally do one thing for 30 days for God's glory and for the benefit of your life. That's what intentional living is all about. If you want to know more, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hope.
God is working through me. I ended up being born again. I accepted Jesus. I just want to encourage other women out there to not give up.
You have your own story of how Christ transformed your life. You can celebrate it and also offer the hope you have to someone else. How? By requesting the beautiful new Hope That Lights the Way 16-month wall calendar from Intentional Living. Every day will be a beautiful reminder of your own walk with the Lord, and your gift to the ministry will work through intentional living to reach someone else who needs to experience hope too.
It impacts my life daily. I feel like I receive something out of it.
Share your hope and request the beautiful new Hope That Lights the Way 16-month wall calendar with your gift to intentional living. Just go to theintentionallife.com today.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson.
Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
All right, thank you, and welcome back. Here are a lot of calls we want to get to here. Lynn is on the line in Florida. Are you there, Lynn?
Yes, I am.
There
Sorry
you
about
go.
That earlier.
It's all right. Hey, listen, you got things going on. That happens. What's your comment today?
Well, I have a positive comment, you know, regarding the mentoring and how important it is to get around the right people in your life. I did not have that growing up at all, and I had several boyfriends before I met my husband, and we were young, and I was dumb, and I was his first girlfriend, and I kept some things that were very secret, private, and even hurtful to myself throughout our relationship while we were dating. And once we became married, and I became follower of Christ, and the Lord just put certain things on my heart, and I realized certain things that I didn't realize were wrong and I shouldn't have done, all were coming to the surface, and I felt like a big ball of mess. And I was going to church. My husband was not going to church. And it was so heavy on my heart one night, I just pretty much laid all that out. So here I am, the clean Christian who was so-called living life right, and all of a sudden I share all my bad junk with him. And I think I pretty much overwhelmed him. I thought it was going to be a catastrophe to our marriage. But it ended up in the long run working out okay, but it was a matter of getting the right mentoring around and getting active in a good, strong, spirit-filled church that really led you to understand God's word and allow God to speak to your heart, and understanding God speaking to your heart opposed to what the enemy's telling your head to make it through. My husband, I've been married over 20 years now.
Good.
And we would not be if it was not for God and having the positive mentors in our life.
Well, Lynn, you made a really good point. And I would say to people, you listen to a program like this and you hear Lynn, she just backed up and dumped everything onto her husband. She told, you know, just, I got to get this off my chest, tell you everything about my past. We've done programs on this. How much of your past should you be bringing up to your spouse? And in Lynn's case, it sounds like it almost just overloaded your marriage and sunk it, but God intervened and you had some good mentoring and a good church, and you've got through that process. I tell people, if you've got some things you really feel like, hey, it's going to enhance my marriage and it's going to build up our relationship, and we really, and my husband or my wife need to know some things so we can move forward, that you do it with a lot of prayer and a lot of counsel, maybe even in a counseling setting, that you use some real discernment and wisdom in your life. And it sounds like in your case, God intervened and saved you from what could have been a disaster.
Right. And seeing at that time, I did not have that mentoring, and I was too ashamed to talk to anybody in my church about it.
Well,
and my husband didn't understand why I was having a touch me not going on, and my touch me not was because all of a sudden I just didn't feel like I was clean enough for him to touch. I didn't feel worthy of him enough to touch, and I just felt like I needed to explain to him that, and I about justified that to him really quick. But God did work it out, and like I said, programs like yours are wonderful, and going to church is great. Getting in church and thinking you have to be so holy and so perfect and you can't share with someone,
that's right,
it does not help you at all. Nobody's perfect,
and that's
except for Christ.
And that is the reminder, Lynn. You know, the churches, people don't go to church sometimes because they see all the hypocrites. The best place for people. You know, we're all sinful, fallen people, and a church is a place to build community and grow in our strength. And I'm so pleased that, you know, you guys were able to work through this and as a result have a stronger marriage than ever. Doesn't always go that way. That's why honesty, you know, being as honest as you can, and that's a whole discussion itself. How do you communicate things from your life, from your past? you know, what format, how do you do that, and so on. But I will tell you this, if you're dating someone, you're thinking of getting married, you know, don't play the game of pursuit and be somebody you're not. And then after you get married, there's a change. I'm telling you, it ain't going to work. You've heard a few stories today. It may not bite you in the first few months, but it will eventually catch up and bite you. Honesty is always the best policy when it comes to being authentic and real while you're dating before you get married. Here's one thing that you can do to become debt-free. Hi, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson with an Intentional Living Minute. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward. Spend less than you make over an extended period of time. You know, starting over the next 30 days, can I encourage you to think about what we teach here, the 10-10-80, where you learn and regularly give the 10% as an act of worship, as a tithe because of God's intentional love for you. And then learning to take 10% to save and apply to paying off debt. Maybe you want to even do more than 10%, but at least 10%. And then learning to live on the other 80%. When you do this over an extended period of time, you will become debt-free. You'll build intimacy as you work together toward financial freedom. That's intentional living.
Visit us at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
You know, the Intentional Living Minute is created 60 seconds every day just to speak into your life. You got a busy morning, you got a busy day ahead, and we want to speak into your life with something that'll kind of encourage you for that day and a topic that relates directly to where you are or maybe someone that you're going to meet that day that needs to hear that encouragement. And we would love to send it directly to your email every day. You can subscribe for it, and it will arrive in the morning, Monday through Friday. All you have to do to subscribe is go to theintentionallife.com and then put in the /minute, theintentionallife.com/minute, and you can subscribe for the Intentional Living Minute there, and we'll start the next day. And we thank you for allowing us to minister to you this way. Well, I have just about a minute, and then I'm out of time for today. I want to remind you that coming up next year, June 28th through July 5th, my wife Don and I will be hosting a 7-day Alaskan cruise sailing the beautiful ports of call along the Inside Passage. It's an opportunity to get away and get close to God's creation and to each other and to God. You know, it's the Intentional Living Alaskan Cruise. We have limited cabin availability, so if you reserve your cabin early, you're more likely to get the one you want. So go to theintentionallife.com to get information and to reserve your cabin. Theintentionallife.com. See you next time from Intentional Living.